Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the webinar presentation on the Fulbright Dual Scholar Program Opportunities for the U.S. This is a spotlight on UK webinar, so we are going to start with the presentation soon. Hi again. So my name is Aphrodita Krasnici. I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Analyst for the Fulbright US Scholar Program for the Institute of International Education in New York City. We are joined here today by Ms. Ana Guerra Pereira, Senior Program Manager for the Fulbright US Scholar Award at the US-UK Fulbright Commission in London. Good evening, Ana, and thank you so much for joining us and for dedicating this evening to us. So, would you like to say something to our guests?
Hi, sorry, I was muted. Hi, this is Ana.
Hi, Ana. Thank you for joining us, for dedicating this evening to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for.
All right, so let's continue. We are also honored to have with us here Professor Dr. Gallagher, who is also Fulbright U.S. Scholar to the U.K., was in U.K. in 2016, 2017, and he's a professor of sociology at LaSalle University. He's also chair of the Department of Sociology and Criminal Justice in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, Professor Gallagher. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right. So, this is the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. As you know, it was founded in 1946 by the U.S. Senator J. William Fulbright. The program started in Burma as a very small program, and it grew over years. And here we have a photo of a professor at that time, Dr. Joseph Withy, who was in Burma as a professor of English. And also later on you can see how the Fulbright U.S. Scholar also kind of survived over time, and here we are 72 years later and we still have the program. Here is a photo on the right hand of Linda Chamberlain, an adjunct professor who went to Arctic. She was an Arctic scholar. So the program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State Bureau of Educational Cultural Affairs, and it is administered by the Institute of International Education here in New York City and also Washington, D.C. But also overseas, it is administered by the Fulbright Commissions and U.S. Embassies. The Fulbright program is considered one of the most prestigious programs in the world, with the biggest number of recipients. Many world leaders are Fulbright alumni. For example, the President of Croatia, Prime Minister of Slovenia, and many others. If you are selected to do a Fulbright program, you are certainly part of a big family, a big network, great network of successful people, and it is considered a one step closer to getting one of these awards. Who knows, maybe even the Nobel Prize. So here in numbers, we have so many Fulbrighters awarded since 1946, 380,000 participants, whereas for the U.S. Scholar Program alone, we give about 800 grants annually. What do you need to become a Fulbright U.S. Scholar? First of all, the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program offers teaching, research, or a combination in teaching and research awards in over 125 countries and alone for the 2019-2020 academic year. Opportunities are available for college and university faculty as well as for professionals and independent scholars. In order for you to be eligible for the Fulbright Program, you must be a U.S. citizen. That is crucial because this is a bilateral program, and remember that you represent the United States in this program. You need to have a degree as required by the award. So each award has specific requirements. PhD or other terminal degrees may be required. Many awards are open to applicants with a master's and a professional or academic experience. Besides the academics, the Fulbright Jewish Scholar Program is also open to professionals and artists outside academia who are recognized and standing and have substantial accomplishments. Every award is different, so teaching experience as required by the award. We also have new policies on previous Fulbright Scholar grants and waiting period grants, so it is now 2 years waiting period. How do you select the right award? First of all, when you want to consider what award you want to apply to, try to match your expertise, experience, and proposal to the award description. That is very important. This is the first part of selecting the right award. Then you need to have some regional experience. Depending on what discipline you want to apply to, there are so many disciplines offered, and you just try to match the discipline that fits best your interest. Relevance of the project to the UK in this case. Why did you choose UK, and how will this impact the host country and also your project, from your project, and how it will also impact your home institution? Career level. So there are also awards that are open for early career, postdoc, mid-level, and distinguished chair. So try to match that as well. We the Fulbright competition opened in March 2018, and the application deadline is August 1st. Applicants must apply to one specific award in one country, and in a minute we'll show you how you can do these searches and for the UK. First, though, I wanted to address some of the common questions that we receive about the Fulbright US Scholar Program to the UK. I've highlighted some questions here, and the first one is my discipline represented? UK awards offerings are incredibly diverse, and there are opportunities from scholars in every academic field. There are 35 awards offered this year in the UK. There is an award titled Fulbright University of Leeds Distinguished Chair, All Discipline Awards. For example, it's 9332 UK, meaning candidates may propose a project in any field. And you'll see today that the regional awards, or which is actually the UK awards, our focus for this webinar, are also getting applications from people in the humanities, social sciences, arts, and STEM fields. In terms of career stage, again, there are opportunities for a wide range of scholars. Some awards are specifically designed for early career applicants, and the UK offers about 22 awards for early career candidates. Like, for example, Fulbright Cybersecurity Award. And on the other end of the spectrum, the UK offers 6 Distinguished Chair Awards open to more senior scholars with significant teaching and publication records. If you're interested in any of the awards but don't have a pre-existing contact at the UK institution, we do have resources available and to guide you through the process. Also, our website includes a page dedicated to letters of invitation, so you can develop contacts there. And this is also the Fulbright Scholar Directory, where you can look up for previous Fulbrighters. So contact information for the UK Fulbright Commission is also listed in the catalog of awards. And since we are honored to have the representative of the UK Commission here, she will help us with questions you might have specifically for the UK. So, for example, here, if you run a general basic search for the UK awards, you'll see that there are 35 awards offered for 2019-2020 in the teaching and research, or just research alone. I would encourage you to review all of the awards that might be a good match for your background, interest, and expertise. But again, today we'll take a closer look at these awards. For example, the Fulbright University of Manchester Distinguished Chair in Humanities. Then there is Fulbright Cancer Research UK Scholar Award. And another opportunity for artists, Fulbright Scotland Visiting Professorship at the Glasgow School of Art. Here is a snapshot of an award description of the award Fulbright Cancer Research UK Scholar Award. So This is just for you to find some key information about each award, and then we're happy to answer additional questions you might have at the end of the presentation. I'll note again that the full award descriptions are available in the online catalog, so I would encourage interested candidates to carefully review those pages and for more detailed information about who can apply and what the grant activities might entail. For example, here for the specific award, I would like to invite Anna if she could tell us more about the Fulbright Cancer Research UK Scholar Award. Anna, hi again. Thank you.
Hello. Hi. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Aphrodita, for all this. As you've introduced me already, so I just want to say I'm Anna, and I work at the US UK Fulbright Commission as the Senior Program Manager for the US Scholar Awards and also the Special Program, so our Fulbright Specialist programs and Distinguished Awards in Teaching, which are also interesting programs and worth looking at. You mentioned that the Fulbright program is 72 years old. We are actually in the UK celebrating our 70th anniversary. We are one of the oldest commissions. We were established in 1948 in the UK, and you also mentioned famous Fulbright alums, and one of our most famous alums is Sylvia Plath, who was here on a Fulbright Award in the 1950s. So picking up from that, in the next 10 minutes or so, I will be highlighting a few of our 35 scholar awards. Most of them are partner awards, as Aphrodita mentioned. And I wanted to start with the Fulbright Cancer Research UK Scholar Award. This is one of our newest awards, running for the first time this year. And like most of our awards, this is a sponsored award and the result of a new Fulbright partnership with Cancer Research UK, which is the world's leading charity dedicated to cancer research and the largest independent funder of cancer research in Europe. So this specific research award is for 3 to 12 months. It aims to build capacity and accelerate progress in priority areas in cancer research by facilitating collaboration links between UK and US research groups. We run this program on the UK side of our awards, so we also send Cancer Research UK Scholar to the US. It's a proper exchange award. So this award is open to academics only. We have only one award available and welcome applications from both clinical and non-clinical academic researchers, although please note that projects must not involve direct clinical contact with patients, as grantees will not be permitted to practice clinically in the UK. The proposed research work should align with one of the areas of priority from the Cancer Research UK current strategy, as including early detection of cancer, brain cancers, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer. But I would say do check the catalog for more information on this, or also our website at fulbright.org.uk. Before moving forward to the Fulbright Cybersecurity Award and highlighting that, I just wanted to mention the letter of invitation that my colleague Aphrodita mentioned. A letter of invitation from your proposed UK host is required for all our scholar awards, and I think it's important to highlight that if you don't have or can't identify a prospective academic contact host at your host institution, proposed host institution in UK, for all our partner awards, you can find under the award requirements tab, which you can see here, the partner award email contact details. So all the awards we have for partners, with partners in UK, you will have a person at the university that will be able to either write that letter or put you in contact with the best person to approach for this letter. And if this does not work for you and you don't manage to get hold of anyone, you can always contact me as well. And just to a reminder to give, it is important to bear in mind that you need to give UK contacts sufficient time to write support letters. that you need to submit to your application. So ideally, you should contact them as early as possible. And also, just a heads up to say that July, the last month of the competition, that the competition is open, is when most UK academics are on holiday, and we found that it's harder to get in touch with potential hosts and get an invitation letter at that time. So just bear that in mind. And with that, I would like to talk about the Fulbright Cybersecurity Award, which is the next slide. Yes. So this award was announced in 2015 as part of a package of US-UK cybersecurity cooperation between the US and the UK government. So it's an award that is funded by both the US and UK government. As with the Cancer Research Award, actually, we also run it the opposite way. We also send UK scholars in cybersecurity to the US. So since 2015, we've already selected and offered grants to 9 cybersecurity US scholars to come to the UK, and there are up to 2 awards available for IE1920. This award is basically designed to enable academic or professional experts in cybersecurity to conduct research, pursue professional development, and or to access best practice at a UK institution, any UK institution of your choice, for a period of 3 to 6 months. A PhD is not required, and the award is open to all levels of scholars, including early career, and all appropriately qualified professionals in the area of cybersecurity. They are also eligible for the award. Applications are sought in all appropriate disciplines, but applications in the following specializations are preferred: computer science, information sciences, law, mathematics, and public administration. Moving on to another one of our highlights that Aphrodita mentioned, and another one of our new awards, is the Fulbright University of Manchester Distinguished Chair in Humanities. This is a new award, but the University of Manchester has been a Fulbright partner and sponsor for many years. We have other awards with them, but this Distinguished Chair was just created last year, and it is to teach and conduct research within the Faculty of Humanities at the University of Manchester. We offer 1 award per year, and it is for 6 months. It is open to all academics except early career and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia. A PhD or another postgraduate terminal degree is required, but this means that, for instance, if you're a writer, someone who isn't a poet, doesn't have a PhD, you can still apply for the award. I just wanted to highlight that and be eligible for it. Applications are accepted in all disciplines and specializations within the university's Faculty of Humanities and its departments. Then the US-UK Fulbright Commission also offers a few Scotland visiting professorships, which are partnerships we have with universities in Scotland. We have some with Aberdeen, Edinburgh, and this very special one, the Fulbright Scotland visiting professorship at the Glasgow School of Art. This is one of our oldest Scotland visiting professorship partnerships. The award is fully funded by the Glasgow School of Art, the GSA, which is one of Europe's leading university-level institutions for visual creative disciplines. The award is to teach and conduct research at any GSA's academic schools, fine arts, design, Macintosh School of Architecture, Simulation and Visualization, and Innovation. The award is for a 6-month project, which includes teaching as well. A PhD is not required, and it's open to all levels of academic scholars, except very early career, and appropriately qualified professionals that can be outside of academia. So applications are sought in the following disciplines: architecture, design, digital visualization, and further specializations can be found listed in the Fulbright Awards catalog that Aphrodita just mentioned. So do have a look at that. I think that as we've said many times, there are 35 scholar awards to the UK offered for 2019-20. The vast majority of them are partner awards funded by specific UK universities. That's why you see the names of the universities in the award title. Today, we only have time to highlight a few, so do check the catalog for any other awards and opportunities at UK universities that might be of more interest to you than the ones that we highlight. But not specifically listed here because brand new awards that we have and are going to be offering for the first time, i.e. 2019-20, and I would like to mention it here, is the Fulbright US Friends of Queen's University Belfast Visiting Professorship. So it's our first visiting professorship in Northern Ireland, one, again, of our new awards. It has been made possible by a generous grant offered to us by the U.S. Friends of Queen's University of Belfast. And the U.S. Friends of Queen's University of Belfast, I must say, is an independent not-for-profit organization based in the U.S. that supports Queen's University and is run by a board of volunteers, many of them graduates from the QUB, so Queen's University of Belfast, and their main aim is to keep Queen's University of Belfast graduates in US in touch with their alma mater and with each other, and they thought it would be very interesting and important to have a partnership with Fulbright and to provide for this visiting professorship for a US scholar to go there. So it covers a six-month appointment to research and contribute to the academic life of the university in any subject. So it's an all-disciplines visiting professorship at Queen's University of Belfast in Northern Ireland. It's open to academics only, and a PhD or other terminal postgraduate degree is required. As with the Scotland visiting professorships, this is quite a generous award. It includes a grant of £27,500,000 for the 6 months, and also an accommodation allowance for those 6 months. Of these awards that we have listed here, I just want to highlight a few. They are very specific and maybe different from the general awards. The first one is the Fulbright SOAS University of London Research Scholar Awards. So this award is for research only, as the title indicates, and for 3 months. It includes a single grant of £2,000, but also free accommodation in central London. It's a small grant, but it's a lot if you think that it includes free accommodation. It's very well located, 5 minute walk from SOAS in Bloomsbury, less than 10 minutes from the British Museum, very walking distance, very close from the British Library. So it's a great award with a lot of possibilities. Research projects are accepted in any field at any SOAS department. So it's a very open award. Another very special award that I would like to highlight from this list is the Visiting Professorship in Politics and International Relations at Pembroke College, University of Oxford. So this award has been offered for a few years, and much like the award at SOAS, it's for 3 months. But the scholar will be asked to deliver several lectures at the college and the University of Oxford Department of Politics and International Relations. So those are the disciplines accepted for this award. It's not on all disciplines like SOAS. The benefits are small. It's a small grant of £1,000, but also free accommodation and meals at the college during the three-month award, which is very special. And the grantee gets to stay at the Fulbright Suite. And I keep saying this is a special award because it was established to mark Fulbright's very special connection to Pembroke College, University of Oxford. Senator Fulbright, the founder of the Fulbright program, was a Rhodes Scholar at the University of Oxford in the 1920s, and he was a member and stayed at Pembroke College during his tenure there. He is said to have been inspired by his exchange experience as a student at Oxford to establish the Fulbright program back home. So in connection to this, the visiting professor at Oxford will be expected to design a one-term brief program of activities attractive to a wider audience and not just Oxford students that is connected broadly to the political, diplomatic, or general legacy of Senator Fulbright. Another award listed here, the second one I would like to highlight, is the Fulbright British Library Eccles Centre for American Studies Award. The British Library is one of our long-standing partners. They not only fund awards, but every year they organize with us and host an annual Fulbright British Library lecture, and also a reception for all our U.S. grantees and partners during our orientation event in September in London. They are great. So this specific award is offered to conduct research at the British Library's Eccles Center for American Studies, making use of the library's collections relating to North America. It is for a period of 6 months, and applicants must have a PhD. The focus of the proposed research should be American, Canadian, or Caribbean studies, and you can look at the various specializations in the catalog that Aphrodite showed you. Although it is not exclusive to these topics, and any topic related to North American studies broadly conceived will be considered for the awards. Just very briefly, I would like to highlight as well the Fulbright Edinburgh and APA University Scholar Award in Nursing. It's one of our very specialist awards, so it covers 3 to 9 month research project in nursing at Edinburgh and APA University, which is located in Edinburgh, and is the largest school of health and social care in Scotland. It's open to all levels of scholars in nursing, including early career, and a PhD is not required. Just to highlight briefly the Fulbright Loughborough University Scholar Awards, so you have an idea of how broad our awards are. This is an all disciplines award for 3 to 12 months to conduct research in any subject or a combination of multiple subjects at Loughborough University. Scholars may also undertake teaching and lecturing in addition to pursuing their own research if they wish. That's not mandatory. Loughborough University, for those who don't know, is located in the East Midlands of England, and it ranks particularly highly for engineering and technology, but it is really well known in the UK and Europe for its excellence in sports-related courses and sports medicine. And the last award I would like to highlight is another one of our 3 scholar awards with Queen's University of Belfast. I've mentioned the new visiting professorship. This one is for Irish writing. It's a 6-month appointment. The scholar is expected to assist in teaching 1 undergraduate modern Irish literature class as part of the BA English program, as well as lead 1 graduate seminar group in the scholar's field of expertise, and perhaps 1 of the seminars in the postgraduate talk programs. It's mainly a teaching award, but the scholar would also be expected to propose their own research. A PhD or another terminal degree is required for this award. I think that's all for me, as we don't have, that much time. So I think I'll pass it on to Professor Charles Gallagher.
Thank you so much, Anna, for highlighting these amazing awards and these opportunities in the UK.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I would like to invite Dr. Gallagher to present on his amazing experience that he had in the UK. Dr. Gallagher, the floor is yours.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Can you hear me? Okay, I thought maybe what I would do is just, if folks are thinking about applying for a Fulbright, some of the things that I think were helpful in me getting a Fulbright, and then some of the things I did there that I thought were very rewarding both culturally and intellectually. I didn't get the Fulbright the first time I applied, and I think that the reason I didn't was I got a letter from King's College, but the fit wasn't really that tight with my own research, and I was a bit discouraged, but I had lots of friends that work in, the work I do is in immigration and U.S. race relations, and they kind of directed me towards the University of Birmingham, where there is a professor whose work was almost identical to mine, and through a friend, I reached out and I said hello, and I told her what I had been doing in the United States. I had been doing interviews. I got a grant from the Pew Charitable Trust to do interviews in Philadelphia on new immigrants and the native-born population, and it was it dovetailed quite nicely with the work that was happening in this department. The department was the Institute for Research into Super Diversity, a word I had never heard of. But we went back and forth, and she said she'd love to sponsor me, and she did sponsor me, and it worked out that I got the Fulbright to be at the University of Birmingham for 6 months. And what I did that worked out well, I like to think of myself as young, but I'm actually not that young. I guess I'm now senior faculty. I'm a full professor. I've been in the business for 20-something years. And I know a lot of people. I'm on a number of editorial boards. One comes out of the University of Warwick. So I just wrote to people that I knew, or I had friends that I was close with say, oh, this professor's going to be in the UK. You really should have him in for a talk. So I was there. I could only be there for 6 months because I had kids and I'm a department chair, so I couldn't get up the full year. But I did manage while I was there to do six talks at six different universities around the UK. It was extremely rewarding. I got to meet faculty and graduate students. I presented comparative work on the United States and the UK. And I say all this that the most important thing that I did was I reached out to people to get a letter, and then also I reached out before I got there to set up in advance coming to different campuses to do talks. Because people book things out, you know, 3 and 4 months, and people think about their semesters way in advance. So that was exceptionally rewarding. And I also, again, this was helpful for me while I was in the UK. I conducted 51 interviews of native-born people from the UK asking about Brexit, asking about their views on immigration. And I was staying in the center of Birmingham, and I wound up going to one or two pubs. They're the kind of two places I hung out. But I wound up getting a lot of interviews through people there, but I also met a lot of people that were extremely helpful in walking me through the kind of lay of the land there, culturally, how people thought about immigration. I eventually became friends with a few people. I went actually on a I went on a shoot with someone, which was quite cool. I had never been on a hunt as fox, a shoot as birds. I'm actually from the city, so in Philadelphia there aren't many pheasants around here, but I wound up just reaching out quite a bit, and I took risks in contacting people that I didn't know or I knew through a friend, and people were exceptionally kind. And I should say, I think there's a halo effect with a Fulbright. Once I said I was on a Fulbright, people were more than willing to make time for me and to have me come to the University of Warwick or Goldsmith or University of East London, all the different places where I did talks. I don't need to tell you about my research so much, but I set up interviews and did talks. I also wound up being interviewed quite a bit because I was an American that was in the UK during the Trump election. So I was interviewed by BBC, BBC Midlands, Irish National Radio, again, strength of weak ties. So I don't have a whole lot else to say that might be helpful for those of you that want to apply. Apply, and if you don't get it the first time, don't be discouraged. And I would also suggest to reach out to people about the letter and about and think as much as you can about what skill set, intellectually and culturally, can you bring to the institution? Can you hit the ground running in the research you're doing? Can you hit the ground running and doing talks? I did some modules. I wasn't asked to do that. I was on a research Fulbright, but I was happy to run some classes. So in your application package, think of what you can contribute in terms of American culture, but also to their institution? How does the work you're doing, whatever it might be, fit into the institution, and how can you basically, you know, kind of contribute to their mission, contribute to their students, to their intellectual life? I don't know how much is there anything, Anna, or can anyone want to ask me to think about, to comment for the folks in the audience?
Thank you so much, Dr. Gallagher, for your sharing your experience in the UK and inspiring others to apply for the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program to the UK. We will take questions, and then we will answer them at the end. If we have any questions specifically for you and your experience, we'll invite you to answer them at the end. Thank you so much. We'll continue with our presentation that we have. We have the next slide I'm going to show you is the application components. And also, please keep in mind that these are all information you can find on our website. It is cis.org. And the application components, the application form can be found also on our website. On each award on the right-hand side on the corner, you have the application. So it will take you directly to the application, which is online. First of all, you need to, when you decide to apply for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, you need to think about the project statement. So there's specific guidelines on that, and also the limit to the pages. It's like 3 to 5 pages. So please make sure you follow these guidelines that we have. Listed on our website that the number of pages should be strict, like 3 to 5, no more or no less. Then your curriculum vitae or resume. So we will need that, and make sure you tailor that to the and you adjust it to the award you're applying to. Letters of references, we require 3 letters, and one at least should be indicating your teaching experience. Additional components depending on each award. Again, each award has specific requirements. So if you want to do teaching as an activity, the main activity, you need to submit the syllabi. If you want to do just research, you need to provide us with a bibliography. Or if you want to do both combined, you need to provide with both syllabi and bibliography. The language proficiency report is only for those awards who require language proficiency. So under the award requirements, you will find the language requirements. The letter of invitation is very important. Even though some awards may say it's not required or is preferred, we still recommend that you get a letter of invitation. And then we also provide guidance on how to get the letter of invitation, how to establish contact. Typically, you would send your summary of your resume when you reach out to the institution that where you apply to, and then send also a brief summary of your project or what you want to do, teaching or research or both combined. If you are applying as an arts applicant, you need to provide us with supplemental materials. And this is for applicants in the arts, architecture, writing, and journalism. Project statement, this is your opportunity to lay out the proposed project specifics and as much details as possible. So this is, you need to know why you're doing the Fulbright in this country, this is particular institution or organization. Focus on what you plan to do and the specific courses that you plan to teach or the methods and the goals for your research. It is very important when the peer review reviews your application, they want to know the outcomes of the grant and the impact on the host, the home institution, and you as well. So this is a professional enrichment, but also a personal enrichment. So that means we want to see how adaptable are you in this situation, and you need to show that in your application. And how well will you deal with challenging situations, because life is different in each country. So this is very important for you to show in your application. Affiliations and invitations, host institutions, if it is not identified, it will be found under the locations in the catalog of awards. So just look it up. When a host is not identified, there are several resources to help you with that. For example, if you have an international office on your campus, which I'm sure you do, there should be a Fulbright liaison that would help you with this. Also, you can find the Fulbright Scholar Directory, which is very helpful. And for example, the previous Fulbrighters like Dr. Gallagher are listed there, and you can reach out to them. Review the award description for suggested hosts or resources. So sometimes there are guidance on where and how to find these hosts. What is the letter of invitation? It is a non-binding expression of interest from proposed host country abroad. So it is very important that they express the interest that they're going to host you and what they're going to provide. Sometimes they will provide an office for you, for example, or a computer. So they will indicate that in the letter of invitation. It should come from the person with whom you are collaborating. So, because they will know best of your project and the idea you want to pursue. And should be on the host institution letterhead. So, also, keep in mind that they can just scan this letter and send it to you by email. They don't need to mail this to you. So, we accept scanned letters of invitation as long as they're signed. How to submit a competitive application? First of all, it is very important to address the Fulbright goal of promoting mutual understanding, because this is what Senator J. William Fulbright, founded this program based on this goal to promote mutual understanding between the U.S. and other countries. Why are you interested in a Fulbright and why in a proposed country? So this is you have to be very convincing of that. Professional expertise and skills you can offer, and benefits to the institution and host country. So this is as much as an exchange program, so other professionals are going to learn from you as much as you are going to learn from them. So consider that in your application. This is a cultural diplomacy. You need to demonstrate, like we discussed, flexibility, adaptability. You might go in a country where there is like no running water, let's say, for example, 24 hours, or, you know, this is just a simple example, but there are other issues, and you just need to be, to do a little bit of background research on the country you're going so that you are informed and aware of the situation there and how adaptable you would be. And very important, the outcome, the impact, and the multiplier effect. So for your professional development, the university, your home university, the students, will you include parts of the teaching syllabi in your teaching, or how will the home institution benefit from this experience? The future collaborations, usually, typically when Fulbrighters attend these programs, when they return, they just start more collaborations with university professors abroad, and then they invite them to come back and to come to the U.S. and visit their institution. So this is very important. Linkages, personal connections, you will make so many friends, professional connections, institutionals, and so forth. And this will help in making your campus more international and the curriculum, enriching the curriculum. Here are some application resources, the Fulbright Scholar Program website and the catalog of awards. So just to remind you that we are going to archive this webinar, and all these hyperlinks that are here on this presentation, you will be able to access them within 2 or 3 days. So the website is the first place to go, the catalog of awards, it's cies.org, and then the application form and the application instructions. There are application guidelines, project statement guidance, and even samples. We provide samples of our previous applications. How do you learn more about the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program as we proceed? Because the deadline is going to be on August 1st. And you can join. More webinars will be upcoming, and also the Fulbright Scholar blog. So we will be posting and updating that blog. And how do you connect with us? First of all, you need to register your interest on the My Fulbright portal, and that's where you will find all the updates that we will send you. The review process and timeline, just briefly to discuss this. So now we are, we just launched the application, the competition cycle. So, but if you apply as an applicant by after August 1st, the program staff will conduct technical reviews for completeness of your application. In September, the discipline-specific committees review applications. In September and early November, U.S. peer review committees discuss applications and for a single geographical region. So then in November and January, applicants notified of their status. And this is where you know if you pass that first stage and if you're recommended for sending your application to host countries. And then host countries send recommendations or non-recommendations, mostly recommendations to the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. February and May is when the grantees get notified of final approval. So this is the time now when we notify the applicants for the 18-19 competition cycle. Then finally, May and June, the grant packets are sent to grantees. So this is just like for you to plan and the timeline of the process. We welcome you to stay connected to the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. Like we mentioned before, it's the Join My Fulbright at CIES2.org. And then email us with any questions you have for UK or any other countries that you potentially like to consider applying to, Europe, Eurasia at IIE.org. Or visit our website, which is CIES.org, to learn more about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. You can also refer your colleagues if you know anybody else who is qualified and eligible to apply for the program. Feel free to send them this link for as a reference. Otherwise, we are very active on social media, and you can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, and Instagram. And yeah, so now we would like to take any questions that we have. Just a second. So the letter of invitation. There is a question that we have. That we mentioned that an applicant should get a letter of invitation, whether required or not. Some awards say not to get a letter. Does that mean an applicant should still get one? Yes, by all means. We recommend, even if it's not required or not, we recommend that the applicant get a letter of invitation because this shows the commitment that the host institution wants to host you, and they also are serious about your project. So this is highly recommended because during the peer review, we've seen that the peer review professionals, they look at this very seriously and they want to see proof that you are really welcomed and you have established a connection with the host institution. If the award says not to include in the application, I would not recommend to include it. But typically they would say either recommended, required or not required. There is another question. Are there any specialist positions in the arts available in the UK? So this is another program, the Fulbright Specialist Program. Is not administered by us, so I would recommend that you check the website for that. But I would also like to invite Anna to answer this question. Hi, Anna.
Hi. Yes, hi. It took a while to unmute. Yes, so I, since that we are now talking about the Fulbright Scholar Program, I would recommend checking the Fulbright Specialist website, but yes, Fulbright Specialist awards in all disciplines open in UK. So that's the answer, I guess.
Yeah, so,
so in the arts, yes.
Another question we have for the, if one applies for the Fulbright Global Scholar Program and want to include a university in the UK, are we limited to choosing from the UK institutions mentioned in the programs, or can we identify any institution based on an ongoing research collaborations or interest?
Sorry. Okay, sorry. It takes a while for me to be unmuted so I can speak. So yes, any university, the Fulbright Global Scholar Award is not a partner award. It's fully funded by ETA. So yes, any university in the UK is available for the award. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. So there is a question mostly. This is for us. Are there any options left for this fall, 2018-2019 year? Actually, the competition cycle for 2018-19 is closed, and now we just launched the competition cycle for 2019-2020. So I would like to recommend that you apply for this competition cycle for this year, 2019-2020. Okay, another are there any age limits? There are no age limits to the to applying for the Fulbright US Scholar Program. Even if you are retired, we just need to see the project statement, and we need to know what is the impact of this project that you are pursuing. Otherwise, there are no age limits. Thank you. That's a great question. Another question we have, a very good question. If one applies but does not get an award, are there any second opportunities for smaller awards or similar? Or is there only one grant application deadline for an upcoming academic year? Yes, thank you. That's a great question. You can apply to only one Fulbright award per year. So unfortunately, if you're not selected this year, then you still have a chance to apply next year. So I highly recommend, as Dr. Gallagher said, that he was not selected the first time around. He applied the second time. You just need to propose the teaching or research activity and adjust it to the requirements. Okay, we have a question for Anna. Are there any programs at the University of Cambridge or in Cambridge?
So we don't, as I said, most of our awards, US Scholar Awards, currently are partner awards. We are unfortunately no longer able to offer the All Disciplines Open Awards, where people could apply to go to Cambridge. We do not have an award with Cambridge. So the awards you could go to Cambridge with are just the Fulbright Cybersecurity Award and the Fulbright Global Scholar Award at present. The Fulbright Schuman European Union Affairs Program, which is ran by colleagues in Belgium, it's still available for the UK, and you could go to Cambridge through that specific award. But those are the three ones we have right now that would be possible at Cambridge. Unfortunately, we do not have a partnership with them.
Thank you so much, Anna. And we have another...
Oh, sorry, actually. Brand new award, Cancer Research UK. Of course, you could also go to Cambridge on that one. Sorry, it's so new, I forgot.
Yes, thank you. We have another question for you, Anna. So are we able to connect with new host institutions, those that, for example, never hosted a Fulbrighter? And if so, what are the cost commitments of their sponsorship?
we wouldn't be able, I don't know if that's, I understood correctly, but we wouldn't be able to forge a partnership through an application? Is that the question?
Yeah, the question was if they're able to connect with new host institutions. Hosted a Fulbrighter. Other than the ones you listed that are in the partnership.
Unfortunately, no. If we don't have a pre-established partnership that has been agreed between the university and Fulbright Commission and approved by ECA, we couldn't do that route for that kind of partnership and secure funding, no. But we are always looking for new partnerships, and our executive director works very hard on that, on building new partnerships. So this year we have these awards. Every year we have new awards. So just a question of checking if the university you're interested in is not there's no award offered to go there, and the other three options are of no interest to the applicants. Check next year perhaps, and maybe we have it. So yeah, basically that's not the way to do it, if I understood the question correctly.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, it's not possible now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, so there is a question for us. The website does not make grant periods a search option. If you just submit the grant length period, and then it is also available on each award, there is a grant length period. And search by that, as it is on the search options on the scroll down list, and then you can search the time of the each award, each grant. Okay, well, we have some other questions as well, but we actually, unfortunately, we are running out of time. So, but we will answer them separately, and we will send an email. I would like just to thank Anna for joining us directly from the UK, and Professor Gallagher for also sharing his experience in the UK. That was an amazing experience. And
yes, it was excellent advice, I need to say, that came from Chip. Excellent advice.
Glad I can help.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Also,
thank you.
And we're looking forward to receiving any questions you might have, and looking forward to receiving your applications. Good luck. All the best.
Thank you, Aphrodita.